You are now listening to Voices of the West Side with your host, John Easter. Today's guest, Dr. Jeff Butts.
And good morning. Welcome to Voices of the West Side on Indy's Giant 90.9. John Easter with you here this morning from the WBDG studios. We've got Kieran Sandulo on the other side.
Hello.
Love that lead-in, Kieran.
Thank you.
Yeah, and that's the voice of our guest, Dr. Jeff Butts, superintendent of the University of Wayne Township. Feel like I just heard your voice because I was doing briefings with Butts a couple days ago.
had a couple art teachers on with briefings with Butts this week. We had our superintendent's art competition on Monday. And, you know, we started that 11 years ago, and it's just actually 14 years ago. This is our 14th year of doing the superintendent's art competition, and we're running out of room in the Ed Center to display student art, but it's a great problem to have.
Yeah, no question about it. So Dr. Butts is with us this morning, and we'll be talking about stuff and things. You know, it's right before we went on, I said, you know, I don't really have anything specific nailed down for the show. We can talk about nothing
specific for 30 minutes.
we are both good at that. So good morning again on the West Side.
Good morning. Good morning.
Kind of a windy morning. I know that we're supposed to have some wind later on today, but man, the weather's, now that it's been a little warmer, it's certainly much better than it was last week when it was,
you know, what's so cold. Interesting, John. So we're, you know, last day of February, February 28th, and yesterday I was with a group of superintendents in Nashville, Indiana, and we were walking trails outside in Nashville, Indiana, beautiful Nashville, Indiana, on February 27th. Who would ever have thought, and I didn't even have a jacket on. So you think about Indiana weather, the last several years, we've had more snow in March than any other month. So that's why we're holding those days back. We're getting ready. We still can anticipate some winter weather yet to come.
You always can, you know, especially the legendary sectional snow, they always say.
March Madness brings snow.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
And speaking of that, want to make note of a loss this week. One of my favorite actors.
Yes.
And someone very near and dear to many in Indiana. And, of course, because of the movie Hoosiers, which so many people hold dear in this state, Gene Hackman passing away, and
95, I believe, is
95
that right?
Years old, was found dead with his wife and one of their dogs yesterday in New Mexico, Santa Fe, New Mexico, and a terrible story. And I'm sure we'll learn more about what happened there, but spent yesterday watching a lot of Gene Hackman clips and things like that. And, you know, the movie Hoosiers came out when I was 11 years old.
Well,
and
ironically,
kind of grew up with Hoosiers.
Yes. I was actually with the superintendent from Milan yesterday. He was one of the superintendents that was with me. And so we didn't talk specifically about that. But, of course, Hoosiers is about the Milan Miracle. And what an amazing group of basketball players, and just a great story.
Kind of a... It's a Hollywood version of the Milan Miracle, because, you know, in the movie Hoosiers, the team isn't, I mean, they had been pretty decent the year before. I think the coach passes away. This is all spoiler alert if you haven't seen the movie.
If you've not seen it yet.
If you're one of the 10 people who haven't seen the movie in the state of Indiana, but the coach passes away, Norm Dale comes in as the head coach. He's got his checkered past.
Outsider.
Outsider comes in. Yep. And, you know, the big takeaway I always had in that movie, besides the fact that my parents, I believe the championship game, it was shot at Hinkle Fieldhouse.
Mm-hmm.
My parents had been to the, because it was done after, I think, a regional game.
Okay.
So they invited people to dress in the 50s gear and everything. So my parents were actually at the regional with that, because Broad Ripple, my dad was a vice principal up at Broad Ripple High School for 18 years. Broad Ripple was somehow involved in that. And there was a secretary also at Broad Ripple. Her name was Barb Romeiser, and she owned the car that Gene Hackman
was
driving
there. Great. That's great.
You know, and so you find out so much of the movie was shot in Hendricks County and Boone County.
Yeah.
And Gene Hackman, if you do any research on the movie, he thought it was going to be a failure.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, he said to Dennis Hopper, he's like, our careers are done after this.
Uh-huh.
And then he was so like adamant it was not going to be a good movie that he at first kind of refused. You know, sometimes they'll come back and reshoot
different scenes and things.
You know, things like that. He refused to come and do the dubs. And so finally he comes in and redubs lines and things. And he saw the rough cut of the movie. He's like, how did you do that?
Wow.
Because of the way it was edited and put together. And so Gene Hackman passing away at 95.
Yes.
Of course, there's so many of his movies that are favorites of mine. Crimson Tide, uh-huh. Love that film.
Yep.
Get Shorty. I mean,
yeah.
So many. But anyway, tributes to Gene Hackman. And of course, thinking also, I know a lot of people were, I don't want to say annoyed, but certainly rightly remembering his wife and their family dog as well. So,
yes. Terrible loss.
Yeah. Thoughts and condolences. And I will say this too. It says something about you as an actor that 21 years after your last role, everyone still remembers what you did, especially in this society where we move on so fast.
And just the number of movies. I mean, you know, reading
70-some,
it was crazy. The number of movies and big movies, movies that people remember and major roles. So yes.
Unforgiven. That's another one. But anyway, Gene Hackman passing away. I wanted to make note of that this morning. But we have Dr. Jeff Butts with us. We also have a thing over there on the wall we haven't done yet.
That thing
over there. It's called the
Big Board.
Up on the big board today, we have a boys basketball game. Ben Davis says at Tech.
Arsenal Tech, yeah.
Arsenal Tech. And that's tonight at 7:30 p.m. Are we doing play-by-play for that one?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then well, I got to make sure.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't know.
The only thing we missed this year, unless it was a game where there was a conflict between boys and girls, we had to choose one or the other, was the Richmond tournament.
Oh, yeah.
We just couldn't figure that out.
Gotcha. Well, and then we have the Ben Davis Dance Marathon, March 15th at Ben Davis MPA.
And that's actually our episode next week. We'll be about that.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
5 to 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm. And then spring break is March 22nd to April 6th.
Just around the corner.
Nobody's excited about spring break.
I'm going to Hollywood.
There you go.
There you go.
And then, last but not least, our WBDG 59 Marathon is coming up May 2nd to May 3rd. That's the 48 hours of on-air activity. We're going to 40 hours, not 48.
40 hours. You know, you missed a very important one.
Mm.
So tonight, in the Little Theater at Ben Davis High School.
That's on my list
to ask you about. Annie the Musical, Annie Kids the Musical, from the students at McClellan Elementary School with a cameo appearance by none other than me.
Wow.
Yes.
So that is tonight.
I'm going to be a grumpy old man tonight telling the kids to be quiet.
Well, that's pretty amazing tonight. I know my father, as I mentioned in the open there, was vice principal of Broad Ripple High School for 18 years, and he would often play in the Madrigal Dinner.
Yes.
He would play the king.
Oh, is that right?
In the Madrigal Dinner, and they would make him sing, which, you know, I'm not sure how they sold tickets, but, you know.
I actually sang in the show choir when I was in high school.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, believe it or not. And so last night I was with a performer from Nashville, Tennessee, actually did a phenomenal job, and sang a couple familiar tunes that I broke out into song, and I think I surprised a few people at my table.
They're like, whoa.
Yeah, you can sing. Well, you know, I try it.
Well,
in the shower.
That's the next career for you then, right? We're gonna see that after the retirement. But we were talking also, this is your, you just passed a milestone. This is your 14th year as superintendent.
Just finished my 14th year, just started my 15th year, January 1st. You know, John, I've been blessed to work for some great school boards. And I was sharing this with some of my colleagues yesterday in our conversation. Before being in Wayne Township, I had only been the longest I'd ever been anywhere was 6 years, and that was my previous role in Tippecanoe. And this has just been such an amazing fit here in the MSD of Wayne Township. The community has been absolutely incredible. Staff has been incredible. I've worked for some great boards. There's only one board member left that hired me, and that's Mike Nance. And all the other board members have turned over. But the board we have right now is absolutely incredible. They're governing this district with just amazing, giving us amazing opportunities to do the things that we need to do, to really be somewhat flexible and nimble as we see things happening. Those are overused terms from the pandemic, but you know, we constantly are going through change. And one of the things that I've been doing recently is reading a little bit of history of Indiana education and going back 60 years, looking back into the, you know, in the 60s and 70s and beyond. There has always been this tension between education and politics, and it's just looked different throughout the years. And so what we're experiencing right now with our General Assembly and both federal level, state level, has always been there. It just morphs. It just changes the issues. As a matter of fact, some of the issues we're dealing with now are reemerging. There are things we dealt with a long time ago that went away, and now they're back. And so history repeats itself, especially if we don't teach history, and that's a whole other discussion. But it's interesting to see kind of this evolution of the conflict that continues to exist, and what we're trying to accomplish here in Indiana. And to be blessed to lead this district now in my 15th year, 19 years all total, if you go back into my assistant superintendent role, has just been phenomenal. And we've seen a great deal of change. You know, in the last 15 years, last 20 years, we've seen a great deal of change in Wayne. And you've been here long. You're a BD grad, so you go back even longer than that into your childhood as a student. And our community continues to evolve. We have 93 countries and 80 languages currently represented in our schools. 42% of our students are multilingual learners. It's just amazing to think about the diversity that we have in our classrooms and all the cultures that we represent and celebrate in our classrooms, and try to make sure that we are helping students to be seen, helping students to know that they belong in our classrooms, and that the curriculum comes to life that represents them.
Dr. Jeff Butts is our guest this morning on Voices of the West Side on Indy's Giant 90.9. And you talked about kind of the pace of change, and certainly here in Indiana right now, you saw some turnover in the General Assembly.
Yes.
You see a new governor, new lieutenant governor come in.
Yep.
And then also at the national level, the return of President Trump and his administration that's starting. So, you know, there are lots of things out there that you can read, and certainly politically and things like that, which we're not going to dive into because we can't, and it's not appropriate here on a non-commercial educational station. But when you look at kind of the pace of change, do you ever remember a time where we've had this kind of pace of change in education?
You know, what we're going through right now, some of my friends and colleagues have likened it to George Floyd and the pandemic colliding together, because we have social issues going on, and then we have this rapid change of things happening almost daily. And so it feels to many of the leaders that I speak with like it's the social issue period of George Floyd and the pandemic that we dealt with, where we constantly had new information coming and new advice coming from all different places. And so that's really what it's felt like for the last 2 months as we've had this turnover in administrations, both at the state level and the federal level. And so, you know, I sat down with our team, my superintendent's cabinet, the district level administrators, and said, listen, this is our time to lead and to remind people that we are serving children in the classroom. That's our number one goal. We need to focus on what's best for them. And we'll deal with the rest of this stuff, right? We'll deal with the rest of these executive orders and the Dear Colleague letters and all of those things that are coming out. But we have to focus on making sure that our children are taken care of, that they're learning, that they we're able to meet their basic needs, that they are seen, that they feel like they belong, and that we're addressing the needs of our community. So there's lots of things that are going to continue to come at us that are going to try to divert us from that mission. But in the end, what's most important are the children that are sitting in our classrooms.
Dr. Jeff Butts with us this morning on Voices of the West Side here in Indy's Giant 90.9. And Dr. Butts, I know we were kind of talking before the show. You said you were in Nashville last night. You've hit that a couple of times.
Yeah.
I was like, Nashville, Tennessee? It was Nashville, Indiana.
Nashville, Indiana, just an hour away. Yeah.
So that was yesterday for you, and obviously with the General Assembly in session, mm-hmm. you're connected with that. You're
right.
Going downtown, testifying, things like that.
Yep.
Talking to lawmakers, mm-hmm. Talking to city county councilors, because there are some things in the city county council that could affect Wayne yeah. Township.
We're actually presenting in front of the city county council's education committee on March the 4th, I believe, next Tuesday. So we're excited to share some information about Wayne Township with that committee and let them know a little bit more about what's going on the west side.
And then, of course, you mentioned the cameo
yeah.
that you're in yeah. with McClellan. Here you are this morning with us. So what's like a thumbnail of your day?
You know, it's interesting. There are no two, excuse me, there are no two days that are the same. And I really try to fill my schedule with opportunities to be in our community, to be engaged, to create those partnerships that we do, and to be out in our schools and see what's happening in our classrooms. And so, you know, yesterday morning, I started off with a school board visit. Our school board visited Stout Field. We saw some amazing learning going on. We went to a second grade art class, a third grade math class, and then saw what they called their wax museum, which highlighted all of the after school activities that they do at Stout Field Elementary. I left from there. Went to Nashville, and I facilitated some professional development for other superintendents. It's something that I've been involved with the Indiana Association of Public Schools superintendents, and it's just a great opportunity for me to give back to my profession. And you know, I learn as much, I take away as much as I give when I do those kinds of things. And so it was a great opportunity to do that yesterday in Nashville, Indiana. Got to interview Jeff McCabe, who is one of the CEOs, co-founders of Big Woods and Quaffon and Hard Truth, just really a staple there in Nashville, and now all
Speedway.
Over. Speedway. Yeah. They have seven restaurants. It's just they've really done a phenomenal job in the state of Indiana. So that was a great opportunity to do that. And then today, of course, starting off here, Voices of the West Side, I'm going to leave the studio and go over to the West Side Chamber of Commerce and engage. I'm a board member of the West Side Chamber of Commerce, so engage with our business leaders here on the west side of Indianapolis. We're going to talk about AI in the workplace, which is something that we're also very involved with here at schools. And then I have a meeting with another superintendent that I'm actually an executive coach for. It's something that I also do I'm a trained executive coach, and so I'm going to have a conversation with that superintendent, working on some things that the goals that we have set, and then hopefully get a little office time this afternoon before I go over to the rehearsal for Annie, and we'll do that tonight, and then some dinner with friends. So we're looking forward to that.
Well, it's a full day. That's what it sounds like to me. You know, I that sounds like a day I'd be like. We had the basketball game against Attics the other night. It's like I just went home, went straight to bed,
yeah.
Get up, and you come back. So to do your job, you have to love it.
Yes.
So how much of that figures into what you do every day?
Yeah, you know, there's a few factors there, right? And I tell our young students all the time that you really need to find something that you'd love to do. So it's not a job. I don't feel like I go to work every day. I get to do this. I'm so blessed to have this opportunity, and I love doing what I do. I love having that opportunity to do what I do. And surround yourself with great people, right? So I have so many great people that I work with each and every day that it just makes it a pleasure. But most importantly, you know, I have an amazingly supportive wife who lets me do this, who understands some of the demands of the job and the time commitments that are required. And that support at home really allows me to be able to be my best when I'm at work. And then, you know, I try to be very intentional as well when I'm home to be present at home. I joke with people. My wife and I wanted to create a space that was kind of our retreat, right, in our home. And so we had the space that was our home office with desk and bookshelves and computer and all that kind of thing. And we talked to a designer about maybe creating this lounge kind of space where we could retreat to in that room. It's upstairs, so it's a little bit warmer in the winter because, you know, the heat mm-hmm. tends to be a little bit higher in the upstairs than it is in the downstairs. And we found these two chairs at Costco. And we bought those two chairs. We set them in the middle of the room, literally in the middle of the room, put a footstool, a couple battery-operated candles. We did not remove the desk. We did not remove the bookshelf. It has become our retreat. So, you know, at night, we love, after dinner, if we're able to eat dinner together, we love going up there, just sitting and kind of debriefing on the day, putting on some soft music, maybe lighting a candle, and just kind of talking. And it seems a bit odd, but it's our place, right? And I think we all need that place, especially in the tension that exists today and all of the things that we see and hear, and the polarization of people on their beliefs and their politics and all those things. We all need that space just to be able to get away. And sometimes in the morning, I slip into that area and I just read. Just a great opportunity to kind of set myself up for a great day.
Well, I know President Obama once said that if something ends up on his desk, it's not an easy decision. So I think probably that's similar to what happens with you, because there's so many great people here in the building level and the classroom level and things like that, that probably if it ends up on your desk, it's probably not an easy decision. And so with you, do you ever find a chance where you can turn your phone off and just relax?
You know, it's funny. We, I've had that conversation a lot. As a matter of fact, I had it yesterday with several of our superintendent colleagues, and I do sometimes on vacation. So, the question's always, where is your work-life balance, mm-hmm. right? Unfortunately or fortunately, the cell phones and text messages and social media and all of that means that we're always accessible. And so I do try to take periods of time where I literally set my phone down. It's one of the things we asked our students to do during the school day after we had our listening tour last year and some of the legislation came out. And we asked our students, put your phones away while you're in class. So I try to model that behavior when I can. And I don't. Sometimes my wife, she'll give me the look, right? I'll be at dinner and a text message will come up and, she'll ask the question, who's joining us tonight? I realized that I need to be very intentional and put my phone down, sometimes put it in the other room so that I'm not tempted by, as a matter of fact, that's why I don't wear a smartwatch anymore. I put my smartwatch away, actually gave it away because that buzzing on my wrist meant that I was always available, right? So I do try to set my cell phone away, model what we've tried to ask our students to do, decrease my screen time. And then the best vacations I've ever had is where I've left my phone literally at home, where I've traveled somewhere. I've left my phone home. I have no access whatsoever. And that's, it takes me usually 2 days to kind of separate and feel comfortable. But yeah, it's we need to do more of that.
And you got to have good people around you too that you can trust.
Absolutely,
when you do that,
absolutely. Yeah. You empower people to do their work, to do the right things, get out of their way, and let them do their thing. We have such great people here in the MSD of Wayne Township that I have great confidence. I could disappear for probably a month before people would realize it.
You could pull a Teddy Roosevelt.
That's right. That's right.
I don't know if you know. There was at one point that he disappeared for like 6 weeks when he was president.
Roosevelt?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nobody knew where he was, essentially. He was out in the out west. This is Voices of the West Side. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, I spent a week in the hospital back in 2017, and nobody knew it because there were so many amazing people here that just kept the, kept the organization moving forward and kept the district going. And, obviously they knew it, but by and large... people did not realize that I was in the hospital for a full week and out of it. I was not, I was medicated. So, it was one of those things that, and I think that's part of our role as leaders is to make sure that nothing is dependent upon one person, right? It's you want to make sure that the organization can sustain itself and can continue to move forward despite a person.
Voices of the West Side on Indy's Giant 90.9, Kieran. You have any questions?
No, I don't know.
We always kind of throw it at you, just
just in case.
Yeah, right.
So, Kieran, we announced this a couple weeks ago that we're moving to this late start Monday with professional development. Now, Area 31 will not be impacted because of the other 10 high schools that are coming in, but we are starting late on Monday so that our staff, our teachers, can have dedicated professional development time every Monday morning. What would you think about that as a student if you were able to come late every Monday, 2 hours?
Well, I already come in fairly early every Monday. I don't really think it would mess with me too much.
Yeah.
It really depends because I spend my entire morning here.
Yeah.
So it's I guess it would be...
But if you were able to sleep in every Monday morning...
Well, I don't sleep often. I'm an insomniac, so I don't sleep a lot. All but right. when I do, it's usually for like just about 6 hours.
Yeah.
So when I go to bed at 10 every night, I think I get as much sleep as I need. Two-hour delays don't really keep me in
there. There are
times of the year I'd take 6 hours a night.
Yeah, you know, right? Well, you know, it's one of the things that came out of our strategic plan, and we knew we had to reconceptualize teaching and learning. It's one of those focus areas that came out of the strategic plan that we recently did, and we met with committees, and the committee said, if your teachers are going to continue to pour into themselves and to help to make themselves continually improve. And to be their very best, they need time. And last year, we had 1,200 days where a sub was in the classroom because we pulled a teacher out of the classroom. So 1,200 days where a teacher was not with their students and they were learning from a substitute teacher, which we have great subs, but it's not the same. And it's not the teacher that was assigned to that classroom. So we're looking forward to reducing those days greatly and giving teachers that dedicated time every Monday morning to be able to work together and to learn more about their craft and to share data and to talk about instructional practices and to review curriculum and all of those things that we just right now don't give our teachers time to do together.
And I know we've got like 4 minutes left here. Halftime of the General Assembly.
Yes.
I wanted to ask about that as well. What are some of the things we should watch for here in the last half now as the bills that were in the House transfer with the Senate and vice versa?
Yeah, this is a budget year, so obviously money. We're watching very closely money. House Bill 1001, which dropped very late in the first half, is the budget bill, Representative Thompson's budget bill. And so we're watching that. Right now, we're only seeing an increase of 0.4% in the first year, and that's excluding the curricular materials that were added into that budget. So we're actually going to see a deficit in that first year, and then we're seeing 0% in the second year of the biennium. So that's a problem for us as that moves over to the Senate. Senate Bill 1 is problematic for us with the revenue sharing that is going to happen there, and so we're watching that very closely. And then Senate Bill 518, which is another bill that pushes money from the traditional public schools to charter schools, and so that's going to be a loss for us as well as we look at that. So those are three budget bills that we're looking at. There's some bills on referendum that we're looking at, which may cause us to have to actually go a year early if the board decides they want to pursue the renewal of a referendum. So our current referendum will end in 2027. But if we move to a even year only during the general election, then we would have to go next year in 2026 in November to renew that referendum that currently exists, or wait a year and go 2028, which would be, I think, a little bit more problematic for us if we waited that year and had that gap year. So that's a decision we're going to have to make depending on what comes out of the session. There's some other bills on a variety of things. There were, I forget how many hundreds of bills that were, that were proposed, and then you had several hundred that actually made it to committee and got to the third reading in the first half. General Assembly took a week off, which doesn't usually happen, but they took this past week off, so it's been a little quiet, and they'll be back in action next week as the bills move over to the other side and we start to have some additional committee meetings. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out. Normally, especially with some of the budget bills, and I know Governor has waved in. He's not very happy right now with where Senate Bill 1 sits. It had much greater property tax relief for homeowners, and that was stripped out in an amendment. Actually, we benefited greater by the original bill, believe it or not, because of just our overall assessed value and the properties that we have here in Wayne Township. So we were pretty quiet on that bill because we were a benefactor, whereas many districts were significant losers. But with the current amendment, we actually are going to gain a little bit of revenue. So we'll see. We'll see where that ends up. But cities and towns really have been impactful in some of those budget bills because the proposed cuts to property taxes, to personal inventory tax, have really set cities and towns on their heels because it will decimate city budgets. It'll decimate school budgets. Anybody that's a municipality will be decimated. And, you know, John, we know if we want services, they cost money, right? So if I want the fire department to show up when I have a fire, I need to pay for the fire department. If I want, well, I'd say if I want potholes filled, they're not being filled now. But if I want potholes filled, right, I need to pay, you know, for the city maintenance. So those kinds of things cost money, and so I don't know where that revenue is going to come from. And I think that's the big debate right now going on at the State House is what's the replacement revenue when we take away property tax?
Yeah, you mentioned the potholes. And, you know, I thought some of the areas on the west side were bad until I drove 56th Street.
Mm.
Oh, my gosh. Basically from the cemetery, well, the Washington up to Grandview, you can't go the speed limit.
Yeah.
And you have to, dodge around.
You don't see them until you're on top of them.
Right.
I mean, that's the hard part, especially at night.
And that was an unfamiliar, because we went to Broadripple High School.
Uh-huh.
That was an unfamiliar, used to be a very familiar drive for me, but it was an unfamiliar drive going up there. And, man, it was just, it was horrible.
Yeah.
Now on 10th Street, I can avoid them.
You know where they are.
I've named them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, there's Eddie. He's
same way on Morris Street.
Yeah.
My route into the office on Morris Street, I know exactly where I need
to
split the divide.
A few weeks ago, they did get to 10th Street. Mm-hmm. It was like, wait a minute. There was a pothole there yesterday. So they are working on it.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a phenomenal
well, again,
issue to tackle.
We're understaffed. You know, we don't have the revenue to bring in the right, you know, the right number of people to be able to handle those things. So,
and so
same thing with snow plowing. You know, we ran into that last month when we had, you know, some snow and just didn't get to our side streets.
Yeah. So no heated driveway. Right?
No heated driveway. I shovel my own. I'm out there shoveling my own.
That's always the rumor that the superintendent has a heated driveway.
I'd love to have one. I wonder what that would cost.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Butts, anything else for the good of the cause?
No, I want to applaud all of our staff and all of our students here in Wayne Township doing amazing work. We have a great community. Our tagline is "We are Wayne, great schools, great community," and that's exactly what we have. Great schools contributing to a great community, and our community is so supportive of what we do in our schools. And just, John, you mentioned, you know, 19 years here in Wayne, I'm in my 15th as superintendent, and time has flown. It's just been a wonderful opportunity. Love being here, and look forward to many more.
I think my time as a student or a teacher, I've had over half the superintendents now.
Is that right?
Yeah, Dr. Bose,
yep.
Then Dr. Thompson, and then with you.
Dr. Bose actually is the longest serving superintendent. 18 years he served in the MSD of Wayne Township. Dr. Thompson was 15, and then I'm in my 15th. So 15 is the average. You know, we started with Harmon Baldwin in 1962. He was only here for 5 years. Had to, you know, undo some political wranglings that existed at the time when we became an MSD. Probably were his undoing as he dealt with some of those sensitive issues. But rest in peace, Harmon Baldwin died last year at 100 years old. Just really, really amazing. We were able to interview him for our 50th anniversary and our 60th anniversary, which was really special.
And he was still very, quote unquote,
with it. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Just a brilliant, brilliant human being.
So, I know you said you're off to the West Side Chamber.
Yeah.
So
looking forward to hearing more about AI in the business force.
Well, AI is definitely out there.
It is.
I have used AI appropriately with Magic School
and
some of those things. What I've done is, and I went to a great professional development actually with Kyle Cox during Wayne Learns.
Yeah.
And he showed us Magic School and some things. So what I've done is I have taken instructions that I've written and said, hey, can you summarize this for a high school audience?
Because,
you know, sometimes when I write directions, they're like this, and it does a great job.
So. And it does it much faster.
Yes.
Right? So I think one of the things that as we look forward and you know, working on the Lilly Grant and several things that we're going to do to try to move our district forward to make it look differently in 5 years than it looks today, we have talked about how do we make artificial intelligence a colleague and not a tool, right? How do we bring that into a PLC and have it actually contribute to the conversation and to the data analysis and to the lesson design and to, the overall conversation that our teachers are having that enriches and helps that conversation be even better and more impactful for our students. So that's, I think, where we're headed. It's where the students in our classrooms today will grow up never knowing a world without artificial intelligence. Right? Yeah. And so think about that. And, you know, I think about, I didn't have a cell phone until I was out of college, and, you know, it was a bag phone that I plugged into the cigarette lighter, and that dates me right there.
Been there.
Yeah. It's now called a 12-volt, but yes. At the time it was a cigarette lighter. And so, you know, that was my first cell phone. And then, you know, I still had to go to the computer lab to print off my assignments when I was in college.
Yeah,
because I didn't have a computer in my, you know, in my dorm room or my house, and certainly didn't have a printer. So
Gen X here.
That's right. So, you know, all of those things that didn't exist when, and fortunately, again, you know, you have these, all these conversations. I am so thankful that social media didn't exist when I was in high school. I probably wouldn't be superintendent right now if there was social media when I was in high school. So it's just a world that our students are growing up in that we have to help them to navigate, because it is a world that is changing at a speed more rapidly than ever before.
Yeah. Well, that's been Voices of the West Side this week. Dr. Butts, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, John. Always a pleasure.
Have a great day as you head off. And unlike Emerson, I kept messing up the close, so I just pre-recorded it.
There you go.
It's just right here.
So now I just
keep hearing.
Awesome. Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Awesome.
So Dr. Jeff Butts has been our guest this week on Voices of the West Side.
To the parents and to the teachers, our students have so much to give. You must teach them to be investors in themselves and their communities. What you give out is what you're going to be given back. And students, remember, your future is in the hands of the ones you hang with. It's okay to be a copycat, just copy the right cat. Don't get caught with the wrong crowd. And as always, the views expressed on Voices of the West Side are not necessarily the views of the MSD of Wayne Township, Ben Davis High School, or WBDG. From all of us here at Voices of the West Side, we'll see you on down the road. Make sure to join us next time. I'm John Easter, over and out. Have a great weekend.